you do have a question, try and grab a microphone, and so everyone can hear what your question is.
Andy, could you tell me, was there much of a difference in the Earth, as in pollution and things like that, from your first flight? Did you observe any major changes?
No, I mean, my first flight was only 2 years ago, and things don't change that quickly. The thing that I did observe the most, and which I included in this video, were those fires in Central America. I had never imagined devastation on a scale like that. I looked down, and it looked like a war had been fought in that area there. And aside from the devastation that at the site, it was striking to see how far these smoke plumes carried. And I was talking to people in Houston at the time on the radio, and Houston, which is a long way away from fires, they were having air pollution alerts. People were told not to go outside, all because of this material coming up from these fires, which, as I said, I saw go all the way up to nearly the Canadian border.
Hello, Andy. While we are down here on Earth, we heard the news reports of the stricken space station. Were the things that, while you were up there, which actually concerned you about the condition of the... I mean, I think that probably the press might have exaggerated those aspects, but I was wondering what your view up there would have been.
I wasn't concerned. I did not feel unsafe while I was there, and I didn't have concerns. Mir Space Station suffered two major setbacks last year. One was the fire in January of last year, and the other was the collision and the depressurization in June. In the spaceflight business, those are probably the two most serious things that you could have happen. They're extremely dangerous. I would have to say, though, the cosmonauts on board worked very hard in conjunction with the ground controllers to restore normal operations to the Mir Space Station. And they were successful at this, as evidenced by the fact that I had a very largely trouble-free flight. We did not have those kinds of problems while I flew, and I did not feel unsafe at all. The laws of physics being what they are, a space station will continue in orbit. If you turn everything off, it's just going to continue in orbit. If they shut down Mir and walked away from it, it would still take about 2 years before it would deorbit. So not as dangerous as perhaps you might imagine based on the press reports. Yeah, I would like to fly again. I've had two flights. I would like to continue in the flight program. I don't think I want to step up to another long duration space flight. I spent 20 weeks on this vehicle. And that's a big commitment. It's a big psychological commitment, and it's a big personal commitment. I think I'd like to perhaps do some short duration shuttle flights like my first flight. That's what I'm going to try to do anyway.
Andy, was there any aspects working with the Russians, any hangovers still from the Cold War, were there any things that were no-go, or was it totally open and transparent?
The biggest and the most striking thing that I noticed about the Russian culture as a legacy of the Cold War, which was an autocratic time for Russia, was that their hierarchy within the Russian Space Agency was much more autocratic than the hierarchy that you would see at NASA. And the hierarchy of the cosmonauts training program and the way the cosmonauts work was much more autocratic than you would see at NASA. For example, at NASA, the astronaut will be actively involved in the training program insofar as making recommendations how the training program should be done, suggesting ways of improving it. That's the way we do it. In the Russian system, they tend to be not that way. They tend to tell the cosmonauts what they should be doing, and the cosmonauts go and do it, and there's not a lot of room to give criticism back. So that's the biggest thing that I noticed, the difference.
Was it dark and scary?
No. It was a bit dark at times. There was not a lot of light in the space station, so it was kind of dark at times, particularly when you're on the dark side of the Earth. But I was not scared.
If you hadn't have been able to become an astronaut, would you still be part of NASA? And after you've been an astronaut, will you continue on with NASA?
If I hadn't been selected to be an astronaut, I would probably right now still be working at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, which is a NASA-sponsored facility, working in some aspect of the space program. What I'm going to do when this phase of my life is finished is not clear to me. I don't know at this point. I'll have to wait and see.
Andy.
I can hear, but...
I'm down here.
Oh, yeah, there.
The reports we had back in Australia was that your recovery from the flight was somewhat... It took longer for you to recover than the average. Was that as a result of your particular physiology or...?
No, those reports weren't accurate, actually. The recovery process I went through was just exactly the same as Mike Fall, as David Wolf, as everyone else has gone through. The only difference was it started later. When the other guys came back, they felt ill immediately. I didn't. I felt really good. It wasn't until a few hours after being on the ground that I started to have vestibular symptoms. So mine was exactly the same thing. It was just delayed a little bit.
Oh, Andy, my nephew here wants to know how you coped with the toiletries. And how did you store the waste products, or did it burn up on, going back to Earth?
The system we use is called a waste control system or waste management system. It uses fans to create airflows to control where waste goes. And that's stored in a vessel which actually goes into those resupply vessels, progress, and it burns up.
Why were you wearing headphones when you went to sleep?
They are actually were not headphones. Sometimes I wore headphones because I had music playing. Those weren't headphones. They were actually a little headset that's designed to reduce the noise level in your ears. So it makes it a little bit quieter because there were a lot of fans running inside there, and so it was a bit noisy to go to sleep by.
Andy, about the Vomit Comet, how would it work exactly?
Well, what happens is they fly along and they pull the nose of the aircraft up, and it climbs up and up and up, and suddenly they push the nose down and it falls. And as it goes over that loop, it's falling for a while. It's in free fall, so everything's weightless. It only lasts for about 20 seconds because as they come down, they've got to pull up again. But each time you do that, you get about 20 seconds of weightlessness, and that's how they do that. That's how you get moments of zero gravity.
When you come back to Earth, how long does it take to fully acclimatise to the gravity again and to become fully well?
Yeah, it depends. Your balance system readjusts within a few hours and you can start to have balance, but it's not very good balance. You're swaying a little bit. After a couple of days, the swaying is gone away, but your fine balance skills actually take about 2 weeks before they come back. Your orthostatic intolerance, which is the distribution of blood in your body, takes a couple of days to get back to normal. That's the same effect you have if you stand up really quickly and you feel lightheaded. That's because all the fluid runs out of your head. Well, that happens for people coming back from spaceflight, and so that takes a couple of days to generate the fluid that you need, that you've lost in being in zero gravity, to get back to normalcy. The biggest problem, the most long duration problem, is muscular deterioration. When you're in zero gravity, you're not using muscles the way you are on Earth. Even though I exercised a lot, it happened in zero gravity, so the muscles tend to shut down. And so when you come back into gravity, you suddenly have to put these muscles back to work again that they've been on vacation for 4.5 months. And so they start complaining, and you get lots of muscular aches and very stiff. You feel like you've run a marathon without training for it. That effect takes about a month before you really get over that.
Andy, over your 4-month flight, what did you find to be the most difficult experience, either physically or mentally, and what did you find to be the most rewarding and why?
Where are you? Oh, there. the most difficult experience. When the flight started, I moved on board. I had about 20 of those bags all thrown into one module. I didn't know where anything was on the space station. I didn't know how to live on the space station. It was a big psychological adjustment. So that was a difficult time. I was with a crew that I'd never trained with because of the late crew reassignments. I didn't know the people that I was training with. And so it was all a new experience. And that was a tough time. The most rewarding part of the flight was that I overcame all of those hurdles and made the experience productive and personally rewarding for myself. I learned how to live on the space station. I learned how to get a good balance between recreation and the work that I had to do. And I learned how to use the resources there, to enjoy the flight.